Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to the Reasonable Voice radio show. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice. The mission of the Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal economic opportunity and justice for all without truth decay. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing both creative artists and political unity as solutions to our challenges. Hello, this is the Reasonable Voices talk radio show. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, and I have two guests today. First of all, William Cotter, who is the co-author, with his wife Monica, of The Defenders, Bullies Patrol. And his son will be joining us for a bit today, Dylan, who inspired one of the, was the inspiration for one of the characters in the show. But first of all, good afternoon, William. How are you?
All right, sir. How are you doing? Thank you for having us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. May I call you Bill?
Please do.
Okay. So, Bill Cotter, you and your wife Monica wrote The Defenders, Bully Patrol. You've caught the attention of Brandy Lane Publishers. And as I understand it, your mission is to unite the kids who have had enough of abusive behavior. Is that oversimplifying it, or does that do it for you?
That's pretty much it in a nutshell, because when you look at the situation and with the kids today and the bullying that's going on, really, the only way to have any results is to go through the kid, because mm-hmm. it happens when grown-ups don't see it.
Yes.
A lot of times other kids will stand back and watch, but there is a group out there. There are kids out there that have had enough, and what we want to try to do is unite them through The Defenders. It's something that all kids can do. It's a matter of just getting together and saying, you know what, we've had enough. You know, we don't have to get violent, but mm-hmm. we've had enough. People know that we have had enough.
Yes.
And that's one of the things we say at the end of our first book is there's strength in numbers.
Yes.
And that's with just about anything.
Now, has The Defenders been published yet, or is it in the process of that?
Oh, yes, sir. We actually started putting it together over the past 2 years. Our first book came out in November, and we actually did a television interview with the local station, WRIC, here in Richmond, Virginia.
Yes.
And it was actually on the day it was released. So we've been out since November, and we're starting to build a following. You know, I've been working it locally, but, you know, our books are available nationwide. They've been out for about 6 months, I guess.
Fantastic. So is your son, Dylan, with us? Is he available for a couple of questions?
Absolutely. We're in Myrtle Beach, so we got all the time in the world. We're on vacation. He has to be right here.
All right. Well, good afternoon, Dylan. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
First of all, if you don't mind, Dylan, could you tell us how old you are?
I am 13.
13 years old. Good for you. Now, tell us about how this all started in elementary school.
Well, me and my friends, we've all been bullied, and we knew how to deal with the problems. Got together and called ourselves The Defenders, and anybody who would pick up for someone being bullied, we would call them The Defender.
Uh-huh. So that's good. So in other words, there's a counter to the bully, and it's not another bullying behavior, but someone who has a positive response
but does not just stand by and watch idly while their friends or someone, another student they may not even know, is being bullied. Is that what it means to be a defender?
Yes.
Excellent. And I take it you are one of the original defenders?
Yes.
Okay. Did you influence any of the characters in your parents' book, The Defenders?
I'm actually in the book with all my friends.
Aha. So you definitely inspired a character, and the character is you, and what you started doing in elementary school.
Yes.
You know, that's quite courageous in any point in life. I mean, I've had guests who, like the producer and director of Bullies and Friends, and others who've talked about stopbullying.gov, I've had other guests, in other words, who are concerned about bullying. And bullying occurs, it seems to me, at every stage of life, in the workplace, on the playground, in cyberspace. There's so many places where a person can be targeted by bullying. But to be courageous enough to stand up in elementary school and say to a bully, enough is enough, I don't even know how to respond to that, Dylan. I mean, seriously, my hat off to you. I was bullied briefly, but I think I was already in what we used to call junior high school, what you call middle school now. And I had to be my own defender, and I don't know where I got the courage, but I discovered that just turning around and saying to this fellow almost exactly what you and your parents have written, enough is enough, and he backed off. How did it work for you, Dylan? How was that first encounter? That must have been, I mean, elementary school. How did you feel?
I felt good after helping someone out. It just gives you a good feeling to even hear it say thank you. It means a lot.
Excellent.
If I can interject for a second, I remember an incident, specific incident that Dylan had. I'd always taught him, you know, just like my father taught me, you know, you don't have to take crap from anybody.
Yeah. That's right.
And, you know, and I remember him telling me, he said, Dad, there's this fifth grader. Every time I walk by him on the jungle gym, he pushes me in the chest. And I said, well, Dylan, you know that you don't have to take that. Mm-hmm. Stand up. And I remember that Dylan stood up for himself with this kid and kind of put him in his place. And the funny thing about it is the kid moved in next door to us about a year and a half ago, and Dylan and him have been best friends ever since.
Wow. Now that's a success story. That's what we want. We want to see, because I feel like, even though I certainly, first of all, empathize with the target of the bully, but I think also the problem is to try and save the bully, to try and educate the bully so they stop. And that's exactly what Dylan did in elementary school and exactly what your book is about. I think I don't know how old I was, and maybe I was in elementary school, but when we were kids in the neighborhood and all the big guys were throwing snowballs and hurting my little brother, and I stepped up and bravely said, don't pick on him, he's too small. You can throw them at me because I can throw them back, but whatever I said, and they all stood there stunned and backed away, and then I turned around and my mother was standing there. I didn't know she'd been there.
You had backup.
So I had backup without knowing it. But Dylan, again, I'm so impressed with what you and your parents are doing. Tell me what I guess it's obvious. But what's the goal of the book? What are you trying to do?
Uniting the kids that have had enough, but also show them that there's other kids with courage out there that want to do this.
Yes.
And one thing that's happened since we started this whole thing, I realized that there's a lot of young kids out there looking for some direction.
Yes.
You know, looking for some answers. And, you know, we think that we're onto something, because a lot of times, you know, the biggest influences in our kids' lives are other kids.
Yes. Yes.
And if you see other kids doing good things, you know, we're hoping that it's going to have that kind of, you know, snowball effect. But you know what? This is cool. The Defenders, you know, it's something that the kids are doing on their own, and they're taking it upon themselves, because really that's the only only time I really think you're going to get any change is if we empower our kids.
Now, I noticed there was, I couldn't agree with you more, kids leading kids. I mean, and a child should lead them. It's not just the kids leading the kids. But the youth, from elementary school up to 30, for heaven's sake, they are, after all, the people who are now going to take with what they've been left in every respect and try to make the most out of it and move us forward and hopefully in many ways different directions. But how about this anti-bullying video? I think I saw it on your Facebook page. I don't know if you did that or that was stopbullying.gov, but I think there was a comment from you that said it just perfectly tells the message.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with that video. You know, the way the young man approached that situation, he kind of defused everything in a totally different way, you know. And that's really what it's all about. You know, no matter how you do it, you defuse the situation, whether you're doing it with a bunch of kids or you're doing it with comedy or doing whatever. That post happened to be put up by my wife. I'm very familiar with that one. That was a very interesting way to handle things.
Yeah, I thought so too. Dylan, how did you go about handling it? I mean, how did you make it work and not become a victim yourself?
Well, we like to use this thing called strength in numbers. So we unite them all and then they would back away because bullies, really, they want to be the big man. And there's a lot of them where, for example, this defender's badge, and they know that they're going to come around and do something about it.
Uh-huh.
I think what he wants, something a little bit more specific, like tell the situation that the kid was taken just recently in junior high.
Uh-huh.
He told me about the little girl, a little girl, somebody had taken her bag or lunch money. What happened there?
I believe that was fifth grade.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And there was a guy who really is, I don't know what to say.
He's a butthead.
Yeah, that.
Which your dad can say, don't worry.
And while we were waiting for the teacher to come get us, he took this girl's lunch bag and started throwing it around and punching it and doing that. And it was really wrong, so I went up and said, "Get back her lunchbox." She refused and pushed it away. I said to myself, I'm not finished yet. So I went up to him and got right in his face, yelled real loud, "Get back her lunchbox now."
Mm.
30-second stare down, but then he said,
"Well, that's what they do. You know, a lot of times the bullies are aggressive until they realize they might have to use, you know, until there's a physical altercation. The bullies usually, you know, is tough until that time comes. And that's pretty much the case. You just let them know that you're not going to put up with it. And, you know, that's when results happen. You know, we're letting them know that, you know, there's kids out there that have had enough."
It's so... smacks of again my memory of that one day I had had enough and I turned around in the hallway and I don't even remember what I did, but I know I was like Dylan. I was loud enough to make myself heard, and a neighbor came out and said, "Don't let me interrupt." And he watched to see what would happen, and there was the stare down, just like with Dylan. I can so relate to that. Only he did it in elementary school. I still can't get over that point. But tell me, how do you want to impact the reader? Are you targeting kids? You know, I know kids. All right, but do you want, are adults supposed to read these books as well and get something from this? Who's your audience?
Our target audience is anybody who wants to read it, and we really think story is interesting enough where older kids will be interested in it. And what story is I think kind of has a little bit of a hero kind of thing to it. And a lot of kids are kind of, you know, especially in elementary school, I remember growing up, I thought Matt Dillon was the coolest thing ever. That was my hero from Gunsmoke. Kids don't have heroes nowadays. I'm hoping the younger kids will read the story and go, "You know what? I like what they're doing. That is cool what they're doing."
Yes.
And for the grown-ups to read and go, "You know what? I'd like to share this with my son's class, or I would like to share this with other parents." Because, like I keep saying, you know, if we put the power in the kids' hands, we can really make a difference. And then they can start seeing that if they want to do something about something, they can. You can do something about it. It's and sharing the positive message and showing kids that together they can do something.
You know, you're so right with that, Bill. I mean, look at the, you just see the news all the time how these kids, the little girls, not so long ago in the news, they closed down their lemonade stand because they didn't have a license to sell. So they made the lemonade and asked for donations and raised tons of money for their charity. And kids are always the answer. I've worked a lot with middle school, high school, and college age. But I'll tell you, once, if you stop, you know, just so many people say, well, you're just a kid. But kids know stuff. They know stuff about us. They watch us. And, you know,
a lot more honest than adults.
Exactly. Exactly. I know you mentioned something in our email exchanges about the online response even before the book was released.
We actually, when we got together with Brando Lane to start publishing the book, it was December of 2012. And I decided, you know, once we did that, I wanted to get, as the putting the book together, we just kind of got the idea, you know, this is such a positive message. I said, I think I want to start a website. I want to put a Facebook page out there. Mm-hmm. I want to show people what some good kids are doing, you know.
Nice.
And when we did, I mean, the response was pretty amazing because there's so many kids out there that are looking for answers. And,
yes.
You know, something that I've learned through all this is that, you know, it's so easy nowadays for a kid to get to be isolated from the rest of the world.
Yes.
I remember when I was growing up as a kid, we were outside and somebody was picking on somebody. Eventually, somebody kicked his butt because we all knew about it. But nowadays, kids isolate themselves in social media.
Yes.
And they lose themselves from the rest of the world. So the problems that they're having with other kids are so internalized, they end up doing something silly or doing something stupid, and they really don't have any place to turn.
Yes.
And that, you know, just on a local level, you know, we've had, you know, thousands of people respond to us on a national level. I mean, just on our own,
mm-hmm.
In the short time we've had our Facebook page and our Twitter accounts, I'm probably close to 4,000, 5,000 people. And that's just on a personal basis. This ain't going out there and just liking stuff for the heck of it.
Yes.
Actually showing interest in what we're doing. And as I said, you know, during the process, the Facebook page took off. I got a lot better on designing websites. I know that it took me a while, you know. But the websites, and I've attracted, you know, other activists. There's a man by the name of Bud Collier. He runs an organization out of Texas. He does a lot in, you know, bullying. And I've connected with so many folks, so many kids. Now, one thing about it, though, as I tell folks, you know, when people hear about what we're doing, they're just so, you know, they love it. They're excited about it. They want to hear more. But I'm telling you, there is a definite dark side to this because there's a lot of kids out there. Though it's a small percentage, so there's kids out there that, you know, they're no longer here because of the bullying and the things that are going on.
Yes.
And when you hear a parent talk about that, it kind of takes you, for me, it made it personal.
Yes.
You know, when I start talking to parents that lost kids or start talking to kids, I've had conversations till, you know, 3-4 o'clock in the morning with kids, mm-hmm. a parent, you know, talking about this. You know, by no means am I an expert, but one thing I consider myself pretty good at is respect and common sense.
Yes.
And that's really what it takes, you know, using, you know, respect and common sense, something that's lost in this world. And I do believe that, you know, as we're talking about with the website, I do believe that we can make a positive impact because they've reached out to us. Once we put it all out there, they have reached out to us. You know,
I also hear in your answers, Bill, good parenting. I think you're doing a lot of wonderful things online, and the book is wonderful, but I think it all starts at home. It starts at the PTA. It starts at listening to your children with more than your ears, you know, and also you could have been the kind of parent that when Dylan came to you and said what he had to say, too busy, I've got something to do, let's talk about it later, or, well, you know, life's like that sometimes. But no, you told him he does not have to be a victim. He does not have to be. And that certainly, I think that's something we have to instill in all our children, in all our youth, that the got to stand up for what is good and just and right and so forth. Listen, I'd like you to give the website now, then we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Bill Carter, who co-authored The Defenders, and some other things. I want to know more about the people, the other people who are involved in this, and I want to talk to you about cyberspace bullying. But for right now, before we take a break, Bill, could you give us the website where we can go to find out, to buy the book, to find out more about what you're doing?
Absolutely. Our website is www.thedefendersb.com. The Defenders, BP.com. That's pretty much all the information about us. You can link to Facebook, or you can, whatever they do. We link to Facebook. There. You can follow us on Twitter, all that stuff. But through that website, you can do just about anything. You can learn about us. You can get our book. You can get anything, any of our gear pertaining to the Defenders. And we've got some, like I said, some pretty good people trying to do some good things on there. Again, that is www.thedefendersbb.com.
Okay, we're going to take a break now. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Bill Carter.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. I wish I had cancer. A shocking sentiment, but understandable in context, coming from Alice, who is rapidly declining within the doomed confines of early-onset Alzheimer's. Though enjoying a happy story may not be one of them, there are many reasons why you will want to immerse yourself in the film Still Alice, the first of which is a performance that would be, for most actors, career-defining. Though for Julianne Moore, who plays the titular Alice, this is but one more masterfully crafted and extraordinarily moving performance. Alice is a linguistics professor, happily married, active, involved. Hers is a lucid and agile mind until things start to go wrong. But Alzheimer's is often covered up in its early stages by someone so mentally agile. A smartphone provides shield. Lists and reminders cover lapses in a deteriorating brain. But there comes a time when decline is undeniable. Diagnosis is sought. It must be a tumor, she insists. My brain just stopped working. No, what we have here is far worse. Alzheimer's. More than anything else, Still Alice is a character study of the disease. We follow Alice through her decline, experiencing the personal tragedy while we subtly observe its effect upon her family. Still Alice, not in theaters, discovery through rental.
Welcome back to the Reasonable Voices radio show. I'm talking to Bill Carter, who is the co-author of The Defenders, Bully Patrol, with his wife Monica, and his son Dylan, who was with us in the first segment, inspired and indeed is a character in the book The Defenders. When we left, we did leave with the website, and we're going to revisit that, so everyone get your pens out. But I want to talk to Bill now about the other people who are involved in the production of the book, in the movement, if you will, to protect our children from bullying and to stand up to bullying. But I also would like to talk about cyberspace bullying, because there are children who are not here anymore because of bullying. So does your book address cyberspace bullying, and whether it does or not, what do you think? What can we do? I mean, as you said it, kids are isolating themselves through technology. I see kids all the time literally run into things, staring at their smartphones and texting, and crossing a street without looking. I've seen that. But what we're really talking about is when the child is alone with that computer in their home, perhaps even in their bedroom, trying to do their homework, and they're being bullied. What do we do?
You know, the first book that we put out was actually the origins of The Defenders. You know, it basically tells a story about Tommy, which is the main character, and his little brother, Trent Dillon. It basically covers, you know, the origins of The Defenders. We actually have two other books written. We have a follow-up to The Defender, uh-huh, which is the first children's book, and we have another book that's more of a high school version, and that's what it talks about. this young man. His mother actually reached out to me and told me a story of being bullied and harassed. Basically, not a young lady. You know, she was actually telling a bunch of lies online. And, and he was young at the time. He was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And like any young man knows, when you're in love, you know, you really kind of block everything else. So he really didn't listen to the advice from other people around him, saying, you know, this young lady, she knows she's going to be a liar. She does this, does that. But what ended up happening, she ended up making her suicide online and caused this young man to take his own life.
Oh, and, my God.
Yeah, like I said, there is a dark side to this. And one thing that we try to do is, you know, on the cover of our first book, the kids have got baseball gear. You know, I'm a big baseball. I try to get kids, I coach baseball for like 6-7 years. One of the things that I do try to encourage on them, you know, when I'm talking to kids, is get out and doing things. That's one thing to avoid cyberbullying, is get your butt out the house.
Yes.
If you get out there and you're doing things in the community, playing sports or whatever, you're swimming, you're out, you're not locking yourself into the cyber world, and a lot of kids get lost in that.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you know, the one of the things that, like I told you, I taught Dylan, you don't have to take anything off of anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going out, you know, going out there just one of the kids, you don't have to do that. Maybe they won't go out that because too many kids, their world is the cyber world, you know, and too easy to get addicted to that. I see a lot of kids that are actually, in fact, my son. I stay on him because, he's just like any other kid. You know, he gets on his games or social media, and you know, they get locked in. And one of the important things is getting out there and getting off social media, being active in your community.
You know, I know that those listening, especially if they don't have gray hair, are going to think we're saying this because we have gray hair, but it's really true. I know when I was growing up, you know, and my parents and all their friends, boy, when I was a kid, da-da-da, that kind of thing. But I don't think you and I, Bill, are saying that. We're saying real connection has to be with real people sometime. You know, there just needs to be some balance in it, because there is a not just safety in numbers, but there is a real developmental, nurturing part of socializing in person. You know, whether it's a sports or singing in the choir or, you know, going on a field trip together or whatever, debate team, whatever it happens to be. When people get together face to face and have a civil discourse, a civil conversation, a good time, I think that that not only builds friendships and connection and camaraderie, but it also enables you to understand you're not alone. I think that's the thing. I think if there's
it builds character, you know, you're around other people doing good things.
Yes. Exactly. And I think if we spend so much time buried in texting on the smartphone and on social media, people who can speak to us somewhat anonymously are not always kind. And we make ourselves, as you said, we make ourselves feel alone because basically, aside from that, those technological devices, we are alone. And so we need to have a contrast in our life. You're right. I'm going on and on. Let's get back to you and tell us about, you keep mentioning books before The Defenders. Tell us about those.
Oh, no. The original book is The Defenders. That's our first one.
Oh, okay.
Because we're a private organization, you know, we're privately financed, which means us.
Uh-huh,
you know,
yes.
We kind of depend on, you know, our books to level. Well, we have two other manuscripts ready to go, you know, and
we're hoping
that if things continue throughout the summer to where they're going, we hope to start publishing at least two more books in September and October.
I guess that was the answer to my question I was going to ask you next. What have you been up to since writing The Defenders?
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the things that we do locally is I've gotten to where we look at the local events and local charities, and we do things within the community. But just recently, we had a young lady in our hometown. She had a seizure.
Mm.
Driving and was in a terrible car.
Oh, man.
So Mm-hmm. And they had a nice car or something, like a car show, a motorcycle show, and it was all done locally. So we've done probably about 4 or 5 of these things, and that's what we do. We try to, you know, if we see some kind of event in the community, we try to get involved. We try to help people. We try to get other people involved. And I tell you, that's how we're doing things locally. I know that Brandy Lane, our publishing company, is definitely putting it out there on a national level. But
yes.
Locally, we go into events, and just recently, like I said, the young lady that was in a car accident, we raised almost $1,000 to help her family out.
Wow.
Now, like I said, that was just a local event we put together within a week. But we've been to bigger events where, we've had thousands of people there. And, that's kind of what we're doing since we put the book out is, locally we're trying to put ourselves out there. Any place I go, I kind of try to talk to people. Recently, we went to Washington, D.C. on Thursday, I think it was, and my wife, she was Hungarian, had to get some stuff together for her passport to go to Hungary.
Uh-huh.
So I started wandering around International Courtyard over in D.C., and that's a no-no. You don't do that.
Yes.
And you definitely don't do that with a camera in front of the Saudi Arabian embassy.
No.
I travel with books and cards, and this man came out to me when I had my camera in front of the Saudi Arabian embassy. He says, "No, you can't do that." Mm. I'm taking a picture. I said, "Sir, you're actually bullying me." And I gave him one of my cards, and he smiled and went about his business. So,
wow.
Saudi Arabia knows about the defenders now.
Well, very good. Okay.
Yeah.
And you live to tell the story.
I did. And then, as my wife was taking care of, she was in the Austrian embassy taking care of her business. So I just wandered around that area, and I happened to come across a couple daycare.
Uh-huh.
The kids were out there playing, and I travel with books and stuff like that.
Good.
So they were in there playing. They walked by, I think they were little kids.
Uh-huh.
Probably anywhere from 4 to 5 years old.
Mm.
And I said, let me ask you kids to say, can I give you guys one of my books? Teacher and have a share with you. And this one little girl goes, "You can't give that to us." And then one little boy goes, "Oh, be quiet. Give it to me. I'll give it to her." I gave him a copy of the book, and he ran off, and he ran off and gave it to the teacher. So I disappeared. I didn't want to get in no trouble.
Yes, exactly.
I disappeared and went to started walking down the road, and I came across another daycare. Huge night. They were out there playing soccer, and kids were out there playing. I said, "Hey, I'd like to share our book and our campaign with you guys. We'll come on in." So he buzzed me in, and that's a sad thing that they have to lock up the daycare.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. He buzzed me into the daycare, and I pretty much got happy. Once I started talking to the receptionist or the lady behind the desk, kind of got the attention of a couple of the teachers in the area, and I had a little crowd around me, and I was talking about it. They loved what we were doing. I gave them a copy of our book, and they said they couldn't wait to share it in the class. They were going to share it with teachers.
Excellent.
And they said, "Well, how can we get in touch with you?" I gave them a couple of business cards.
Sure.
And this is really great what you're doing. We're really going to look into it. And I said, "Well, if you ever want me to come back and talk to the kids or do something," I said, "the boys and I would be glad to come back and talk with you guys if you ever invited us." So, as I said, when I'm out there, I'm pretty much talking about this. Anybody with ears, I'm telling them about it.
Yes. It's terrific, Bill. Tell us about you. You mentioned the other kids who were involved working with you. Tell us something about them.
Okay. When we first just started taking pictures for the book, for the illustrations, the idea for me is I wanted to be real kids, and I wanted to be real illustrations. I wanted to be, a lot of times they write these books about bullying out there, and they're about a bear being bullied or a frog. I've never been bullied by a frog, and I've never had an issue with a frog being bullied. I wanted some realness behind the
yes.
book. Pictures and we took the actual first picture, the cover of the book, which I don't know if you have one, but I'll get your address. I plan on sending you some.
Okay, appreciate it.
Okay, and the cover of the book is the very center is a young man by the name of Colby Whitaker. I've been coaching him in baseball since T-ball.
Uh-huh.
And the young man to the left doing the rock and roll fingers that looks like Conan O'Brien, that would be my son. He's the one to the far left.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
The little man in the middle, his name is Nathaniel Ziegenfuss. I've been friends with their family for years. And then the young man to the right, his name is Jalen Tabb. He's So it's pretty much a hometown organization, pretty much a homegrown thing here.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to an event, we set up our tent, bring music. All the boys that they come with us and they put on their Defenders hats.
Sure.
I pretty much stand in the background. My wife and I just try to stay back and try to coach them up on how to talk to folks and present yourself professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of sit back and watch. But that's what the kids, all the boys do. Is when we have an event, we have a tent set up with all of our Defenders information. And what they do is they're the face of the Defenders. When people come by, you know, and they want to know about the Defenders, they talk to them boys that are on the cover of that book. And they're more than perfect for this job because all these are very fine, upstanding young men. And one of them, I'm telling you, Mr. Jalen is going to be a sales demon when he gets older because he just knows how to talk to people. And I even told the kids, I said, you know, not only is this a good thing that you're doing within your community, but you're learning some very, very good skills. And
yes.
I told the kids, you're a part of a real legitimate organization.
Yes.
And it will look good on a college application that you are getting involved in your community. So, yeah, all these kids, the ones you see on the cover, the kids I just mentioned, I mean, they're all very helpful and very outgoing when it comes to promoting and talking about the Defenders.
Well, I certainly have seen the cover of the book, and even though I don't have it in front of me right now, but in the studio, but I am so impressed with the reality, as you say. These are real people, and when these real people go out with you and your wife, and they physicalize the story. There they are. They're the guys on the book. They have a story to tell. And as we both agreed before, it's the kids leading the kids. That's the best example. It's terrific. Tell me, you've said this is private funding, which means you. Do you have any fundraising program going on, a GoFundit or something that you want to tell us about?
No, I prefer not to do it that way.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think you're going out. You're doing it the right way. You're actually going out and passing out the book for free in places where you know it will do some good when shared, and saying, here is my book. This is what's in it. Share it with young people. Share it with parents and teachers. I think that's at least twofold. You are giving what, you know, you send out the right message. And the message saves people, and it's got to come back to you in wonderful ways. I believe that. We're running out of time, and I want to make certain we know how people can get the book and know more about you and Dylan and what you're doing out there, what you plan next, what's your next big thing, because I know you got something coming. That's just the way you sound. But tell us the website, the Facebook page, how do we get the book? Do we contact you if we want you to come and appear somewhere, some event, create an event where you can be, you and the kids can come and talk to us? Give us all that information.
Oh, yeah. I actually thought about after my wife and I made our trip to D.C., we went up to the White House to put some pictures, and I told Monica, I said, this is the perfect place to come down and set up our Defenders thing, because I've never seen so many crazy people in all my life.
Yes. I don't have time to tell you my White House story now, but if you visit my website, there's a story about that. I think it's directed to Rachel Maddow, but in any case, you finish, because you're the guest today. So, your next big... Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was going to give you all the information before I threw in that part about the crazy folks.
Yeah. Yes, please do.
Okay.
Yes.
I definitely have I'm chairing her fundraising event. We're going to do another one of those. We're also going to be at the Chesterfield, Virginia State Fair, local event. But anytime anybody wants to reach out, and for me, if you're close enough, I will travel to wherever I got to go. I reached out to a young lady, reached out to me from Maryland, and I said, well, we'll be there.
Yes.
You know, we just showed up. You know, they told us about something they were doing, love what we were doing. We would love to have you guys there, so we packed up. You know, we were there. Funny thing about it is I got a speeding ticket on the way, and because we were doing such a good thing, the officer actually took a picture with us and reduced my ticket to failure of the equipment.
Yes. Oh, yes. After a while, as one does the kind of thing that you and your family are doing, and the publishing company too, for supporting you and getting it, the Defenders published, you get an aura around you that people recognize and they respond to it. And I am so glad you were on the show today. Did we give all the contact information? I don't want to stop before we're sure everyone knows how to get a hold of you and invite you to be a part of their events and do your own events with them. Did we get all of that?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to say it one more time.
Okay.
www.thedefendersdp.com.
There you
go. As I said, everything you need to know about us is there. We got some pictures of us from events. You know, we got some info. We got some other good people doing some good things around the country. I've kind of also on the website, I've kind of united a few other of the anti-abortion organizations around the country.
Yes.
But we're all trying to make some difference. So
exactly.
The whole website has a lot of good information there.
All right, then. We've been talking to Bill Carter, who co-authored with his wife, Monica, The Defenders Bully Patrol. Thank you so much, Monica, in the background, and thank you, Bill and Dylan, for being on today. I so appreciate your message, and I will sally forth with it. Okay?
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and all the best to you. Bye now.
Stay with us, as we'll be right back with a final comment from The Reasonable Voice.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Sometimes a film trailer will attempt to market an independent film by misleading would-be audiences into expecting something it is not. Or, at best, it will fail to suggest the emotional depths to which the film can lead its audiences. Indie films, with potentially smaller audiences, are especially subject to such manipulative practices. Audiences who miss The Immigrant, assuming it to be a rather depressing, underlit cliché about a poor girl gone wrong, missed a very fine film indeed. The film is set on Ellis Island and in the streets of New York in the 1920s. Writer-director James Gray succeeds in evoking the harsh conditions under which many of our grandparents and great-grandparents entered America. Nerian Cotillard plays Iwa Cebulska, who arrives with her sister on Ellis Island in 1921. She is forced to take up with a sleazy but somehow rather charming pimp named Bruno, Joaquin Phoenix, who lures her into prostitution. Entering the mix as Iwa's would-be savior is Jeremy Renner, taking leave from his born identity. Think you've heard all this before? Not so. Plot twists generate genuine surprise, laughter and tears, and nobody turns out to be... Well, you'll have to see for yourself. The Immigrant. Not to be missed, but no longer in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Hi. I'm Cassidy McMillan. I'm the director and writer of the documentary film Bullies and Friends.
Because I never would have wanted any of them to be scared.
A child of 14 would take her own life because of bullying.
Bullies and Friends tells the true story of a 14-year-old girl named Dawn Marie, who, after being bullied and threatened with death by three girls at her school, hung herself in her bedroom with her dog's leash. In her suicide note, Dawn Marie named her three tormentors. The incident sparked a groundbreaking investigation that led to the precedent-setting court case, where for the first time in North America, teens were made to stand trial for bullying.
When my sister Brenda and I first saw the documentary Bullies and Friends, we knew we wanted to get involved however we could.
Bullying has become a worldwide epidemic. Thousands of children from across the globe have committed suicide due to bullying.
As a nurse, I've seen bullicide have horrific effects on the family and friends.
According to the Centers for Disease Control, bullying among school-aged children is a major public health problem. Over the past 10 years, the occurrence of bullying-related suicides across the globe has shown the connection between bullying and suicides. Suicide is the third leading cause of death among children. Tragically, almost every other week from across the globe, another child commits suicide due to bullying. These are only several of the children who have taken their lives due to being bullied. Seth Walsh, Stephen Urey, Carlos Vigil, Rebecca Ann Sedwick, Phoebe Prince, Carl Joseph Walker Hoover, Kelly Yeomans, Bart Pelos, Jasmine McLean. One child is too many. We need to take action now.
You can get involved by joining this film's cause of bullying and bullicide prevention.
I first heard about Dawn Marie's story on the Oprah Winfrey Show. I was horrified to learn that a 14-year-old girl would feel so terrified that she felt her only escape was to take her own life.
I reached out to Dawn Marie's mom, Cindy. Cindy and I both felt that telling Dawn Marie's story would help prevent another boy or girl from taking their life due to bullying.
Bullies and Friends not only recounts this powerful story, but it offers solutions to bullying, to schools, parents, kids, and communities. In the film, we have interviews with the nation's top bullying experts and an exclusive interview with the judge who presided over and handed down the precedent-setting ruling, as well as interviews with teens involved in the case, including the main teen girl brought to trial for bullying. In making Bullies and Friends, I've traveled to schools and youth organizations across North America, where I've worked with thousands of kids, hundreds of teachers, parents, educators, counselors, and other community leaders in my research on bullying and bullicides.
We were really struck by how this film actually presents solutions to bullying. The film is emotional and deeply affecting.
I'm hoping that Cassidy's work can save lives.
Brenda and I set up a special film screening of Bullies and Friends that was just for parents, teachers, and kids so that they could all talk about the film afterwards. Bullies and Friends opened the dialogue on bullying and bullying prevention. The kids and their parents at our film festival screening really wanted to show it at their school. We can really relate to how much Cassidy has sacrificed as a filmmaker to make this project happen. This film can help so many kids, and it's already making a huge difference.
At some of the screenings at schools, students have come up to us afterward and said that prior to seeing the film, they were this close to committing suicide due to bullying they were experiencing, but said that after they saw this film, they knew that someone cared, they saw the devastation their death would cause, and now said that they would seek help instead. And that, to us, has made the long journey in making this film more than worth it.
We've had people say to us that they want to help prevent bullicide, but they don't know what to do. Helping this film raise money and get out into the world is how you can help.
The film has been met with tremendous positive response from schools, organizations, and events throughout North America where we've screened early versions of the film. We went ahead and held preview screenings due to audience demand from schools.
This film has achieved distribution with a global distribution company. The company is patiently standing by, waiting for the film, but we must meet all the funding requirements. Know that you will be involved with a film with an important cause already slated for worldwide release. This campaign's funding is needed for all the pre-distribution requirements to get this film released across the globe. Costs include multi-platforms of distribution, closed captioning, sound mixing, and the many other production costs.
Only a small percentage of independent films get selected by a distributor for worldwide release. We're very proud that Bullies and Friends was able to achieve this amazing accomplishment.
This is an all-or-nothing campaign. If we don't raise the total funds needed, this bullying prevention film cannot be released to the schools, parents, kids, and communities across the globe.
This film is a grassroots movement that is helping kids and communities. Any amount you contribute is huge to us.
Every dollar helps in this campaign to help us prevent bullying and bully sides.
We're asking you to go donate today.
We have great perks, including being among the first to receive the DVD when the film is released. Be listed in the film's credits special thanks section, which means you'll be listed on the film's IMDb page, and the exclusive opportunity to be listed as an associate producer or co-executive producer of this important film.
We're also including a needed stretch campaign to fund the film's bullying prevention outreach tour. We need you to share this campaign and its cause with your family,
amongst your friends,
and anyone you know who's been affected by bullying.
Email, through social networks. If you have any friends in the press and media, please let them know about Bullies and Friends and how helping this film get made can help kids all around the world. We thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of the Reasonable Voice. Website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I'm Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.